Q4 bonus categories, airline news, and more on episode 76 of the No Annual Fee Milenomics Squared podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Milenomics Squared podcast, No Annual Fee Edition.
If you're not subscribed to the full Milenomics Squared podcast, you're missing out on a deeper dive into topics like the following. Happy Q4. Here we are, first day, October 1st. Congratulations. You know, it used to be so fun in this game. First day of the month comes around, you know, feed the birds, you know, bluebird and all this kind of stuff, right? Well, I guess we have Q4 bonus categories have kicked off. Chase Freedom with a unique one. PayPal, pet stores, and McDonald's. Wow, weird categories.
Very weird, but I was talking to you off the show and saying, like, what if there's some kind of metric. And pet stores are like one of the places that people spend the absolute most on.
I hear pets can be expensive.
That's true, Robert. I've got enough pets for both of us, I feel like. And they are expensive. But something tells me I'm not going to be utilizing pet stores with PayPal on this list. What about you?
I guess PayPal, you can pull some stunts. Might try to do a person-to-person thing or some other wrapping around PayPal. A lot of merchants take PayPal. And I guess it just depends how many Chase Freedom cards you have. You know, maybe 1,500 in the quarter would be realistic. But if you have 15 times 1,500, that gets to be a lot. So you need to look at some stunt there. I hope you're not eating. Nobody is eating that much McDonald's.
I hope not either. No, Robert. An interesting wrinkle here. You know, I don't know if you're using Chase Pay Yourself Back nearly as much as I am. But on the Chase Sapphire Reserve card, they did have pet stores as a Pay Yourself Back. And they've removed it. As of October 1st.
Wow.
They don't want you to earn in the pet store and redeem for pet stores, apparently. So
that'd be too much. Boy, what a weird category. What about Discover, though? Amazon and Target, that's so strange because it's not categorical. It's merchant-specific, and I guess Christmas shopping? Oh, my goodness. Can you believe the leaves are falling? It's time to winterize. How many years has this come around? It just seems these seasons keep wrapping around on us. We have to start shopping for real, I guess, at Amazon and Target. You know, Discover's you can't have as many of those as Chase Freedom. So I guess you could do all that spending for Christmas shopping. But I don't know. Maybe there's some load scheme over at Target that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, or Amazon loads and then spend them throughout the year, maybe. But I don't like it. I just think that it's a distraction at this point. You know, I think that Target, for sure, you could get 5% back at Target very easily all year round. And you could do better than that probably if you really pushed hard on some of those angles, like an Amex Business Gold gift card from Office Supply or something like that. But what else? We got the Bank of America Cash Rewards card. That's a nice one. And that's $2,500.
Yeah. And you can have multiple of those too. So I kind of think that, especially with the uplift you can get there, that is potentially bigger than any of these. So yeah, don't forget those recurring, always pick your category kind of things. I think those are more useful. US Bank Cash Plus. I don't know how many of those you can have, but maybe some of those are more, you know, kind of boring in a sense because they're kind of cash-based as opposed to point-based. But man, maybe in total, they're more interesting than some of these categories that get more hype.
Well, speaking of hype, Robert, are we ready to move on to this JetBlue news?
That's hype. Yeah.
That is hype. Trevor teased this months ago.
Did he? Yeah, well, JetBlue is my hometown airline. I'll take this one. You can take the next one. Lounge is coming to JFK in Boston in late 2025. So really forecasting this a long ways out. I've traveled out of Boston. That's my hometown airport. And there's so many options. And I detailed it when I was flying internationally. When I fly domestically, maybe I have a Sapphire lounge, which is very nice. And that's pretty close to where JetBlue flies out of. So I don't see this as a big win on top of that out of Boston, because I'm pretty much covered with that Sapphire lounge. Very nice, usually doesn't have a wait, and close to the gates there. But yeah, you can never have too many lounges, because at Logan, things are pretty spread out. So I like that. It's going to be for people who are flying Mint, domestic or internationally, and people who have their premium card, which is coming soon from Barclays, of all banks, which kind of frustrates me. But that's an interesting tie-in. They're kind of up-leveling there. And they're marketing themselves now, JetBlue, as the East Coast's best leisure network. What do you think about that? I mean, is that a post-pandemic pivot? You know, leisure travel is the main thing right now. It's kind of a weird read on the situation. It seems like the legacy carriers are, you know, kind of keeping one foot in both camps, both business and leisure. Is there a market for a mostly leisure airline on the East Coast? Is that a great place to be?
I mean, Robert, I think JetBlue is forever 1 to 2 steps behind where they need to be. I mean, this news here, right? Like, we've got lounges. Like, well, welcome to 9 years ago when that was what everybody was trying to do. Robert, I'm going way back, all right? Take me way back. Remember when the mall inside the airport was going to be like the thing?
Oh, yeah.
Every airport was building out there. Yeah, you had all this time in the world. And why not stop and shop?
Johnson & Murphy, I'll buy some new shoes.
Yeah, you know, and since these, that's the equivalent of this now, is there's all this space. It's that the mall thing didn't work, and they're just turning it into more and more lounges, I feel like. But, you know, to be the East Coast's best leisure network, you needed to be that a couple years ago when everyone was taking their revenge leisure travel. I think that that's a wave that has passed. And so I think they're being reactionary, and I think they're actually trying to be something that no one needs. No one's asking for a leisure network on the East Coast. I think people just want a great network, leisure or not. And I don't think it has a great network, although I'm biased because I'm on the West Coast. What do you think? I think it's more important what you think of their leisure network.
Yeah, I used it. I mean, it's straightforward and it works. And overall, maybe more pleasant than flying a legacy carrier. It's pretty simple and relatively pleasant. You know, three of us sat in economy seats and they got us there on time, which is more than I can say for Delta. A full trip report coming from a trip down to Orlando this past weekend. So I don't mind flying JetBlue, you know, all things considered, if I'm just getting on a plane and it's getting me from point A to point B. But yeah, it's some of their moves. You know, we've talked about airlines being credit card first or airline lounge first. Yeah, you know, it's not even really about flying the planes. And I really think they have missed the boat on the importance of their credit card and their loyalty program, because they're always tweaking it. They're making it better. They're making it different. And, you know, I think we see with Southwest, the next item we're going to talk about here, how, you know, you really got to do something radically different and stay true to that if you want to be differentiated. You know, otherwise you're going to be kind of inferior to the legacy carriers. But then we see these airlines doing more and more things like the legacy carriers. And I think Barclays is really a pretty lousy partner for them to interact with, and they could do better. And I think they missed the boat. They wanted to join One World, it seemed like. They formed that Northeast Alliance with American Airlines. Mm-hmm. That didn't pan out. It got busted up. They tried to merge with Spirit. That got busted up. I don't know. For some reason, nobody wants to dance with JetBlue. I'm still relatively pleased that they're a carrier here, but overall, it's just not working, and they need to find somebody to dance with.
You think Barclays is killing all these mergers? You think they're behind the whole thing? It's possible, right? No, I'm just kidding, Robert.
A great cabal oriented fight.
We lost AA. We're not losing them to Spirit and Bank of America. It's just not happening. No. All right, two in a box here. I've got news from Southwest. New seating options. They're talking about assigned seats. They say 80% of flyers want them. More space seats. They also are going to then have less space seats because of that, I think. And free bags continue. The cattle call is apparently going to continue, which makes no sense to me. But they also include international partners. And the first of those being Iceland Air, which how many people, I got to ask, Robert, do you think are going to make a connection between Southwest and Iceland Air?
I got to ask about the cattle call continuing. I mean, the cattle call is, in my mind, conflated with the no seat assignment thing. So they're going to have a cattle call even though they have assigned seats?
I think that they're going to use that as their boarding groups. That's what I think, right? So like you are in group one, even though you're in seat row 27 or something like that. I couldn't imagine why they even need to do all of this, but apparently there's a lot of people upset with Southwest right now. They are going to roll these changes out for some purchases in 2025 and flights in 2026. So again, we're looking really far into the future. And we have a direct link here for their investor relations site, which really outlined all of these changes and does have even more about vacation plans and things that they're going to offer and more partnerships and things like that. It's related to some issues they're having with management and some activist investors. So, you know, an interesting airline. It's funny, yeah, Robert, because, you know, JetBlue and Southwest, you and I fly them, and we act like we know exactly how to fix them, but we continue to fly them. And I don't know if they necessarily needed to change anything, either of these airlines, to continue to get our business, but maybe it's not our business they're after, and you can't run an airline on the business of two guys that sit on podcast microphones and just talk to each other. So maybe this is necessary. What are your thoughts? Explore this bit.
Well, tell me, do these changes make you more or less likely to be enthusiastic about flying Southwest?
That's such a hard question, Robert, because even just this past week, you know, you were looking at, and again, we'll talk more about it on the paid show with your full trip report, but you were looking at really full cabins on some of these flights to Orlando. And I do appreciate, as someone who flies with a wife and two kids as a party of four, do appreciate that there's an opportunity for like last minute availability of seats on some like short notice flights. You know, all you need to do is get that late A, early B boarding as a family and things line up and you've got four seats together and things are good. But then more often than not, it ends up to not be that, or there's a misconnect and you're racing and you're the last people on the plane and you're strewn all around. And I am really the kind of person that wants to be the last guy on the plane, and having an assigned seat is what I need. And so they say they're going to keep families together. They say they're going to keep that Southwest magic. How they're going to do all that, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be better. I'm still going to fly them. I have just too many credits with them not to.
Yeah, it depends on the route. I mean, you raised a good point there. And I looked, Boston to Orlando, and they don't have a direct flight there. And right. So then it's a total non-starter. So I'm just not interested in them. And frankly, I'm glad they're not big in Boston. I think there's better carriers that operate more normally. The legacy carriers, Delta's big here. JetBlue's big here. And I think I do prefer JetBlue to Southwest. And all right, stay away, Southwest. JetBlue, you keep doing what you're doing here.
Yeah. I mean, look, talking about lounges, right? Everybody's into lounges. If JetBlue is a few steps behind everyone, Southwest is like miles behind everyone. When's Southwest going to open their first lounge ever?
What did they open in Midway? Is that a Priority Pass lounge?
And Southwest Midway, that is their airport. So that lounge is just going to be packed all the time. It's going to be wonderful.
It's a good point. Yeah. It's a good point. But no, it's interesting to see the things kind of go towards the way the legacy carriers are. Everybody dunks on them for their unions, yeah. How terrible all these things are, right? But then there's a reason you do it. They've got the route. They've got the reasonably priced fare. It's a reasonable collection of things for your hometown airport. Totally depends on what your hometown airport is and who the big carriers are there. You have to figure them out. If Southwest is one of those, you can figure it out and I think have a relatively good time on them. And I know some people who are totally happy that Southwest is their hometown airport. I'd like to have options, though, and I don't like to see so much consolidation, but let's roll right in this next one. Alaska and Hawaiian, one less airline pretty quickly here. This is much faster than we thought it was going to happen, I think.
No, very much quicker. And they're talking about, you know, well, first of all, the points transferability came already and it's here, you know, Hawaiian to Alaska and back. Yeah, right. And there was some concern about being able to continue to transfer points from membership reward to Hawaiian.
Flickering on and off. I mean, I've got a 500,000 Hawaiian miles that I think could transfer to Hawaiian. That much happened much faster than I thought would happen. But it seems like Amex to Hawaiian to Alaska seemed like a great thing. There's a transfer bonus and then it worked and then it doesn't work. I don't know. You have to check on a day-to-day basis, but what's the net of it? You know, from the looks of it, you go to the site that we have a link to. It seems like the combined program is going to be the best of both worlds. But we know that's not how airlines operate. They'll get rid of the one value sweet spot that existed in both of these, you know, the favorable upgrades and just the favorable pricing. And everything is going towards Hawaiian being part of One World, just as Alaska is becoming part of One World. And so One World is becoming a pretty big carrier.
Yeah, One World is. But imagine how packed those planes will be.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Very easy to just cherry pick the good of something like joining One World or the merger. Look, I want this merger now more than ever because I won't ever fly Hawaiian into LAX because of where they land. They land at the end of the international terminal. You can visit the Air France lounge as you deplane, and then you walk like 2 miles to get home. But, you know, if they can move into the Alaska terminal, but that might not happen for another 2 years. And so I'm looking 2 years into the future like, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to be great. I'm going to wait. Can't wait. Can't wait till all those flights are Alaska flights, but they got to wind down an entire airline. And so I don't think that's going to happen quickly. You know, they're saying they're going to join One World. Hawaiian is going to join One World, not Alaska. I think actually I was listening back to one of our old shows, Robert, and you mentioned that they said they were going to run these as two separate brands for quite some time as part of the merger.
Both cannot be true. Yeah. I mean, what are the chances that Alaska is going to continue to run a Boston to Honolulu route? I mean, some of these routes are so crazy, and I just can't imagine Alaska keeping
the
true
longest
to those.
Flight.
Yeah.
Right? Well, look, Hawaiian has international capacity in that same show that I was listening to as a paid show of ours, but I was mentioning the slots that Hawaiian Airlines has in Japan. So is Alaska pushing into Japan now? I mean, what's going on with the international side of this? The whole thing is going to be very, very messy to unwind, but it's going to happen, like you said, slowly. I think some of this is happening quickly, but some of it's going to take quite some time. So, hey, in the meantime, there might be some ways that we can take advantage of it. You know, I could fly from Long Beach. There are some Hawaiian flights from Long Beach, and I wonder if those will continue or they'll be switched over to Alaska.
Yeah. No, I don't think Alaska is a sinister airline. Right. I mean, some of these airlines, banks, you really kind of think you've seen a pattern of them doing nasty things. I don't think Alaska, you know, maybe it's just biased to talking to an Alaska rep in Boise, Idaho, and they're, you know, helping me merge together something. And I'm like, I talked to a human and they were empathetic and they helped me resolve my problem. I don't bucketize historically Alaska that way, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll watch them here. We'll watch it closely, Alaska, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here and hope for good things.
I like that, Robert. I do. Let's move on. We got a Chase Ultimate Reward transfer bonus here. 30% from Ultimate Rewards to Avios, British Airways, Iberia, or Aer Lingus, but these can also transfer over, as you chronicled on a previous episode, to Qatar.
You could, a two-step thing. And I've seen some other kind of bonuses there that are kind of on the Middle East carrier side, and they get a little convoluted and things like that. But the Avios standard is really becoming an international currency that other airlines are adopting. That's been an interesting trend, I think, in this past year, those moving fluidly between programs, people saying we don't need to go invent our own currency, loosely affiliated, maybe tightly affiliated as part of Oneworld. But yeah, interesting to see Avios rise up. I wonder if Star Alliance will do something similar to have a currency that's common between a lot of their carriers, because things are so similar. When they get dissimilar, is it good or bad for us? But yeah, interesting to see this bonus on the heels of a Amex bonus. What do you think? Quick question, Amex or membership rewards or Chase Ultimate Rewards, which is more valuable to you?
Boy, that's such a good question, right? We could do a whole show on that. I think I jump immediately to forward earning. You know, what do I think I'm going to be able to earn easier moving forward? And due to my like stable of Chase cards, I do think that if the opportunities that were really outsized with American Express were to dry up, I would actually be able to earn in a non-mega bonus way more Ultimate Rewards.
Wow.
There's just more 5X capacity. Now, American Express has lost their mind in the last 2 years. And so
2 years, like, 5 years.
But if that continues, you know, 8X, 9X, 14X, 24X, if those types of crazy multiples continue with American Express, then it's a membership reward. I think that the earning of membership rewards would be much easier. But then the ironic thing happens. They're easier to earn, so they're actually easier for me to spend. And I'm going to hold on to the Chase Ultimate Rewards a little bit longer, I think. What about
you? No, that's very accurate, I think, right? I mean, everything's on sale over at Amex in terms of the ability to earn through employee offers and upgrades and churnability that of things that shouldn't be churnable. And Chase is very staid. You know, they're just like, this is the way it is. Would you like another card? If you stay under 524, we'll give you some more pellets. And if both these banks kind of return to their kind of written protocols, I think, you know, they would be very similar. But maybe if you have a stable of Chase Inc. cards, if you have the ability to stay under, the discipline to stay under 524, Ultimate Rewards would be easier to earn. But looking backwards, Amex, if they continue their wild ways, it has been so much more. I went and looked the other day, some news in the paid show, the cash out limitations went into effect with Schwab and, you know, 1.1 cents a piece down to 0.8, et cetera. You know, there's been such a, and I looked at how many membership rewards I've earned, you know, 3 million. It's just crazy, crazy numbers. So I have to think that Amex is going to continue those traits going forward. And it's hard to, if when you've been a company, I look at JCPenney back in the day, right? They brought a new CEO. He did away with sales and
no coupons.
Yeah. Everybody was like, I don't want to shop here anymore. There's no good deals anymore. This isn't any fun. So that's just kind of in Amex's DNA as far as I'm concerned. So I'd be very disappointed and surprised if they went away from that. So yeah, very interesting dynamic. Although all that said, you know, 30% Chase Ultimate Rewards to British Airways Avios, that doesn't get me nearly as excited as an equivalent would be over at Amex. And what did we see just recently? Was it 40, 50%? Was it 30%?
I think I would jump in at 50, but at 30, it feels very much to be the standard transfer bonus.
Amex has nothing going this month as of yet. So interesting that Chase does have something going. And like I said, other on the carrier side of things, and maybe some obscure ones through maybe Citi directly to Qatar or something like that. So always good to see transfer bonuses, but Amex has not made a move yet this month.
You know, such an interesting conversation regarding like the behind the scenes of things like bonuses and partnerships on that conversation and Travel Stories episode 42 with Richard Kerr, where he was just saying like, you know, that we have these conversations and the ability to do these things. And I have to think these are reactionary, right? Like, well, they did 30%, so we're going to do 30%. I mean, it's just too similar.
Yeah, the contact over there says, hey, you did that with our biggest competitor. Let's do the same thing.
Hey, let's move on to this last item here, Robert. You want to take it, as you are a Delta fan?
I am. More routes to Europe in summer 2025. You know, the time keeps moving. You know, think about summer 25. It seems like summer 2024 was here. 1 mile at a time outlines a bunch of new routes. I'm particularly excited about a couple of them. Boston to Milan. So this would be a second flight from Boston straight to Italy, in addition to Rome. And that's a nice addition. On Delta Metal, kind of hard to find a good redemption that would get you there at a really good spot on with miles. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe they would release some partner space. You could do something with a partner. Minneapolis to Rome. Garth, I'm thinking of you, man. A way to get straight from Minneapolis all the way over to Rome on Delta Metal, big carrier here. And a few others. Boston to Barcelona, Atlanta to Naples, Detroit to Dublin. They try things, you know. And if things aren't working, they cancel them. They cancel JFK to Munich after one season. We're like, boom, we tried it. We're done. It's out. We were talking recently about startup airlines and Bermuda Air and having, you know, a route from somewhere to somewhere. Things, oh yeah, just no problem, fly the plane. But you have to staff that thing with local crew, and Delta flexes the breadth of their network. They've got people everywhere, and so we can accept incoming and outgoing flights, and we'll try things. And that's what I like about Delta. And, you know, as long as they fly the route that they're actually committed to routing, they sell it. Sometimes they don't always even go so far as to fulfilling it. They'll just bag the route and connect you through, you know, one of their bigger home airports. But I like to see this. I like to see more flights out of Boston, especially internationally. And I'm pleased to see what Delta's doing here.
I've heard that they have given some preferred pricing on some of these routes, but I haven't seen it myself because I don't really see great options out of Los Angeles. Yeah. But you know, none of these routes matter if we can't find a good redemption. And so I think that's the thing that we need.
Yeah, no, I like the idea of that. And I think that does happen. I think we said at some point in the past when Delta jacked the price of going to Europe, for example, in business class, they can always put those things on sale. You know, oh, it was a mistake, or you know, really have a legitimate promotion or something like that. So, in order to redeem the miles, the route has to exist. So that's the good first step, and we'll see what they do on pricing on it.
We have seen over the last few years point to point, end to end pricing, and so they could take something like Minneapolis to Rome and really just make it like, well, if you live in Dallas, we're going to give you preferred pricing, Dallas to Minneapolis, Minneapolis to Rome. But from Minneapolis to Rome, we're not going to do anything on that. Or the opposite, you know, right? Like Rome? No. But Naples? Hey, we got to get people on these Naples flights. You know, so I think that the more complex their network becomes to Europe, the more opportunity for certain city pairs to have some kind of a great competition with another carrier and then some kind of great pricing. So that's the thing I think to keep our eye on. These routes become exponentially bigger when you add these long-haul flights in.
Interesting. I'll look forward to that. No, it'll be interesting to see these come online. You search for something, you never know what might pop up. And like I said, the flight has to exist. This is step one. Step two is to find a good way to book it. And they could control that with price. They can control that with the number of miles, partner miles, any number of things.
And you're seeing, right. And so, right, they could even just have a deeply discounted fare sale. And so forget the miles. We'll just book it with membership rewards, or we'll book it with Chase Ultimate Rewards, or we'll book it with cash. So this could be the year, Robert. We keep teasing that there's going to be a year where we have to book a business class fare with cash. And, you know, with all this capacity, it could very well be 2025, the year we actually jump in the pool.
I'd love to see it. I mean, I don't even know where Catania is. So I'd love to see what that
entails. I know where it is because I've searched so much CTA because that's where we want to go next summer. And it's in Sicily. And so flown into that airport myself once before. Yeah. And would love to return. And it has some interesting routes. I mean,
this is your opportunity. What are you talking about? I mean, these are relevant to you. Just fly to LAX.
I just got
to
get to New York and then go over there. So, you know, the pricing could work out for me. And I've got a one way over to Rome on American Airlines in a similar situation, you know, flying through Philadelphia and making some weird connection happen. And I think, you know, the return is what I need. So this could work out, Robert. You're right.
This could be it. Ready to close it out?
I am, Robert. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week. For a more in-depth discussion about points and miles, visit us at patreon.com/mileonomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer, where we speak more freely about topics like these.
Till then, we'll see you on the site.